Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to Bleeding Blue. I am yelling and screaming. This is a New York Football Giants history podcast. Snacks, you are here as you are always here. You're one of my best friends. Draft month snacks. We're going to have some fun, interesting Bleeding Blue draft Giants themed Giants history episodes coming up within the next 3 weeks. But this week, taking a break from the Coughlin book, we are back to a Snacks Pantry. How are you doing?
Yes, we are back to a Snacks Pantry. I am doing well. I know you're doing well. You ran a 40, and it is one of the most incredible videos I've ever seen. So if you guys have not seen it already, go to Justin's Twitter profile and check it out because it's fucking hysterical. And I've already cursed within 30 seconds. So that's a good omen. Yes. So this is draft month, and I'm very excited. It was yesterday we were talking and about draft themed episodes that we're going to do, and they're going to be very good. We're very excited about them. But for today, for our listeners who love to berate and ridicule my lists, and you're going to have the chance in the comments to tell me where I'm wrong, even though I'm not. This list is 100% factual. Everything's correct. These are not opinions, they're facts. Should I say what our Snacks Pantry is today?
What is our Snacks Pantry for today?
Yes. So no draft yet. We are going to do the best and worst losses of the regular season, not playoffs, because with the playoffs, then the best and the worst is very easy. Best and worst losses, best wins, worst losses from 2000 to just this past year, regular season. Now I want to preface by saying for the old timers, you're not old, I'm sorry. But me and Justin were not alive for the 80s and the early 90s. So we don't have a grasp on that. But what we do have this summer is going to be a treat for all of our 80s and 90s and 70s Giants listeners that love that part of history. We're not there yet. So bear with us for now. We're going to do more recently over the last two decades. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Fun thing that we have planned for this summer. And, you know, this podcast, it has structure, but also we're, you know, learning what we want our structure to be, especially now that we're integrating YouTube and we're integrating video, we're integrating like the video editing aspect of things to make things more engaging. What podcasts like history podcasts, like shows that don't rely on the news of today, no matter what genre it is, they typically have like seasons, like season one, season two, or they have themes. So what I think Snacks and I ultimately are going to do and how we're going to shape this show, this is at least the thought. We're going to shape what we talk about around the book that we're reading.
Correct.
So most of our conversations are taking place about Tom Coughlin's book. And even just the start of like Bleeding Blue, the first couple weeks was the playoffs were still happening. So the NFC Championship was happening. The Super Bowls were happening. The Super Bowl was happening. So we talked all four Giants Super Bowls. So that was like a season in itself. So either it's going to be the book that we're reading or the time that we're in, like the time period, the time that we're in currently. So draft month, maybe that will be a season. Then we'll resume the Tom Coughlin season. And it won't like be categorized like that, like on the podcast app. But in your brain, just know that. Like if we're reading a Tom Coughlin book, we're most likely going to have most of our episodes, even outside of the Tom Coughlin book, on like the 2000 early 2010s Giants. If we're reading a book, which we have planned and I'm so excited for it, if we're reading a book about the 80s Giants and the early 90s Giants, then a lot of our episodes, even not about the book, are going to be shaped around that time period. And I think that's the consensus that Snacks and I kind of landed on. And
yeah, I think
we like it.
Yep, I love it a lot. I think that's key to have a time frame, a time period in which we want to do it. So because I feel bad and when we bring up lists and we do the Snacks Pantry, and people are talking about players that we didn't watch or games we didn't watch, and we feel bad. But we want you to know that in a timeline or a time frame, what we have plenty pre-2000 stuff to come.
Yeah,
in the 80s, everything. So we want to preface by saying that there is plenty to come. That's what she said. So I also want to say, if you're looking at me, I have it looks like a little rash right under my nose. It is not a
sexually transmitted disease.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. It is not that. I had a bad mask, and the mask has kind of really put a damper under my nose, and I'm very sick of the masks, but I'm going to wear it because I want everybody to be safe. And I love my grandmother very much, and I love everybody in my family very much. So I'm not going to not wear a mask. So please wear your mask, get your vaccine, do everything you have to do. That's a public service announcement from Bleeding Blue.
Wow.
And yeah, not bad. Do you want to get into this pantry, Justin?
Yeah, let's start with like the five. Now, this is your, but it's also, it is the, your slash correct, the best five wins, regular season wins, the New York Football Giants have had over the last 20 years. I have to guess.
You have to guess, yes. And they are all correct. And I'm excited to hear some of the comments that I missed, or some, you know, maybe as John Mara would say, miscalculations that I had. So we will see. So let's start with the best regular season wins from 2000 to 2020.
I have a lot written down here. Ooh, on my little post-it note. It's some that I may forget about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with 2004 week 17. Is that on there against Dallas?
Uh-huh. Eli's first win, right?
I think it was Eli's first win, because that was a brutal
it
stretch.
Eli's first win. Yeah, he audibled, and the running back, number 21, he audibled a run in, which I'm still pissed about. The running back that wore number 21, scumbag.
Oh,
quitting, cheated. Yeah. That's not on the list. Eli's win against Dallas in 2004 is not on the list. But I think you may be on the right track. So let's see.
So the next big Eli Manning win was the next season, 2005, week 7 against Denver.
Mm. Giants Broncos, 2005, week 7, October 30th, I want to say. That is number 5 on the list, Justin.
Boom.
The fifth best win in the regular season over the last 20 years. So that's to me, that is Eli's coming out party, really. Like they were down 20-10 going into the fourth, and they won the game, I believe, or was it 20-10? They won the game 24-23, but Eli, in a miraculous, I think he dropped back, or he literally like just rolled back like 40 yards before he threw the ball to Toomer. And then Toomer, to his credit, came back to the ball, because I don't know how great of a pass it was, but he put it where Toomer had to go get it, and Toomer went and got it, and that was a huge win. And that was a playoff team. They were 3-2 at the time. So 3-3 is a little tricky, you know. You obviously still easily make the playoffs, but 4-2 is much better than 3-3. So Eli in his second year took that step, and he proved that he can come up in the clutch. And that's what he did his second season against the Broncos. Boom. Number 5, Giants Broncos, 2005.
23 for 42, 214 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Eli, baby.
Anybody with significant. Antonio Pierce had 13 tackles.
Of course he did. He always did.
How about that? Toomer had a nice game. Plax had a nice game. Both had a touchdown. Yeah. Good game.
Great game.
Eli started to gain get some whiskers on his chin. I think that's a line Michael Strahan likes to say that line quite a lot.
Hey, little baby Eli got a little whiskers on his chin. Yeah. Which, speaking of which, thank God that was an April Fool's joke, because Michael Strahan without the gap is not Michael Strahan.
Okay, so this is actually, I'm glad you brought that up. Good little buffer. I was ready to call him a fraud. I did call him a fraud, because I thought it was real.
Yeah, I commented lame because I was pissed. I didn't call him a fraud, but lame. And I almost think, you can't fix your teeth when you're enshrined. What do they call it? His head in the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame and the Giants, like the Giants Ring of Honor too, like at the and in MetLife Stadium.
It's got the gap, man. It's got the gap. Can't do it.
I think he knows that.
Of course he knows it. That's why he just punked everybody. Great April Fool's joke, by the way.
I call him a fraud, and I have every right to call him a fraud, because I might have told that story about how
you have, yes.
I met him, and they're like, I wanted to just thank him, and you know, you worship him as a kid,
right?
And I met him like at an autograph show years, but I'm not a grown adult, and he gave me the cold shoulder. I was a kid. He gave me the cold shoulder, didn't let me shake his hand. So ever since then, yeah, ever since then. Like, I admire Michael Strahan, but I will never, like, bow down to him. You, right. You know what I mean? So
I can absolutely understand. Absolutely.
I'm a bad guy, and I hold grudges, okay? All right, next game. Now, this is a game that we talked about over the summer when we were just a podcast before we were on the YouTube. Now, I don't know if it's on your list, but I think it's the next week, which is kind of crazy. I didn't know that it was, like, the next week. 2005, week 8, the Wellington Mara game.
Wow, good for you. That's number two.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had a sneaky feeling. I knew you loved that game. That is so strange.
One of my favorite games ever. Yeah.
That is so strange. Like now, like, you know, knowing, like, yeah, I knew that game happened. I knew it was 36-0. But then now talking about the game where Eli really put himself on the map as like a clutch guy. And then the next week, the only owner of this football team passes away.
Yeah. And it is so, I guess in a sense, so sentimental because Eli was Wellington's guy. Like that was his, the last quarterback he drafted. That was his footprint. And to see Eli have that game winning throw to Toomer against Denver the week before, and then passing away that week, rest in peace, Wellington. And then to go out and bury the Redskins 36-0, Justin. Come on. The emotion riding high, everything riding high. And the Giants go out there and they absolutely piss pound the Redskins and they start a winning streak. So to me, that'll always hold a special place in my heart because I mean, when you beat a division opponent 36-0, awesome, amazing. But the fact that it was the game after our beloved owner passed away was even more special. And the running back, obviously, I think he wore number 21. I don't remember his name. I know he quit. He's a cheater, cheated on his wife, scumbag, loser, idiot, deserves no credit from Giants fans. He ran wild, had about 206 yards, and the Giants just utterly dominated the Redskins that game. They could not lose from the first kickoff to the last whistle. They absolutely killed that team, and it was a beautiful sight. So rest in peace, Wellington Mara. That is the second best Giants win in the regular season over the last two decades.
Washington ran a total of like 47 offensive plays.
Yeah, dude, they completely dominate. That honestly might be the most dominant win in Giants history. We'd have to look that up, but that really might be the most dominant win in Giants history.
47 offensive plays, and the Giants had 45 rushing attempts.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it was a beautiful thing because Wellington deserved that. He deserved that send-off.
All right, so two 2005 games. We know there's not an 04 game.
Nope.
So I guess I'm gonna just get this out of the way. Do you have a 2000 game on there? Either week 16 against Jacksonville, where maybe we sealed something, or week 17 against Dallas, where it was just a close game overall.
Both good calls, but neither are on the list.
Okay. Okay.
Good cause, though. Good cause.
So let's get out of like the first Super Bowl era type of team and let's go to 2011 because I know there's got to be a couple games on there.
That's a good idea.
I know I'm not going to go to the automatic one at first. 2011 against the Cardinals.
Wow. See, that's an honorable mention.
It's a great game.
It's a phenomenal game because you think about it, they don't win that game, there's no season. Like, that's even before a few games after where they had to win. And Eli comes back, and I'll never forget. I always watch the games at home. I can't be anywhere else. I need to watch the Giants games at home. I have to. That's who I am. And I was in college, and I had to go back to college. So I heard the third quarter on the radio driving back to school. And when I got to my dorm, I put it on. Here we are on the comeback trail. Hakeem Nicks, everything was just such a beautiful game. But no, great guess, not on the list. There's actually a lot of games from 2011 you could pick from.
Yeah. Another game that I just personally like, it may not be like a remembered game by Giants fans, but I always remember games that I'm at. Mm-hmm. I remember being so hype and so excited during the 2011 home game versus Miami. Like the Victor Cruz spinning in like the fourth quarter for that touchdown.
Yes.
Just remember being so excited.
I think it was either Buffalo or Miami. Bradshaw had two or three scores. I guess it was Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Buffalo because it definitely could have been Miami, but no, that's not on the list. Very great game. All those games, literally, Justin, all those wins in 2011 were important, close, great games. So you're on the right path.
And they were all good football games too, which we're going to do a separate pantry one day. Maybe I'll do a pantry. I know snacks pantry is your thing. Maybe I'll do a pantry because I've gone to a lot of games of just like my favorite football games. And some of my favorite football games included are like losses.
Losses, yep.
Because the devastating losses stick out to you more than the wins. So we'll even talk about some of those. 2011 week 17 against Dallas has to be one.
2011 week 17, you say, huh?
Against Dallas.
Nope.
No.
Nope. It's not on the list.
All right. So then the other game, I believe it was week 14 against Dallas, the away game in 2011.
Correct. And that's number one. And yes, that is number one. Here's why. Because there is no week 17 against Dallas for the division without the previous win.
It's true.
And that game alone, we were down two scores with, I think, like 5 minutes left. And Eli led two touchdown scoring drives.
It was the same thing with Arizona. It was like legitimately the
same
thing.
Exactly. But which with much more intensity and much more significance in this one. And JPP's blocked field goal as time expired. Coughlin calling the timeout to ice the kicker. That game is far and away, to me, the best regular season victory we have had in the last 20 years. Because that's a propelling moment. We always talk about momentum wins and everything like that. That is a very propelling moment that they came off a miserable loss against Washington, I believe, the week before. And then they went to I'm almost positive, right? You correct me if I'm wrong.
What's up with these miserable losses against Washington? 2007, they had their
and that was the only team we could beat.
A miserable home loss. Well, it's the only team we could beat now. We had a miserable home loss against Washington in 2007. And then, 2011, miserable home loss again, and then turning it around in Sunday Night Football.
Turn around, yeah. And they were left for dead against Dallas in that fourth quarter. They Tony Romo overthrows Dez Bryant. Eli comes back, two touchdowns.
No, it was Miles Austin.
Miles Austin. And boom, boom, down two scores. Boom, boom. JPP's block. Coughlin's icing on the kicker. That win propelled us. That propelled us. So that is number one. The number one best regular season victory over the last two decades. So you have 1, 2, and 5. You're missing 3 and 4. You're going to get 3. You got to think.
I have 2008 week 16 against the Panthers where Derek Ward goes bananas.
Yeah. Great win. It's not on the list. I'm still like salty of that season.
Sunday Night Football.
I know. We bring it to overtime, and then we go.
I was there.
I was not, and I remember going crazy. But it was such a fugazi. It really was. It was a big fugazi of a win, and then a season because we know what happened in the divisional round. Getting like how excited were we? We got the number one seed, but our best player on offense was down. He shot himself in the dick. Yeah. It was just. Looking back on it in hindsight, it was a very salty, salty win in a sense because we knew that that was the team. That team could have went 15-1, and they went 12-4. That was a great win, though. That was a great win that they showed up when they had to, but it's not on the list. Honorable mention, though. That was one of my 10. That was an honorable mention.
2016 Dallas.
The Janoris Jenkins Dez Bryant game.
Yeah, home, at home.
Oh, I know. I think it was 10-7 that game, right?
Miserable.
Literally miserable. Great game. But another season that I don't respect that season. I really don't. I hate it. It was a great win, but not on the list.
They talk about this on the K show. there's a value to having homegrown guys on your team.
Like, oh, absolutely.
New York. New York is very
especially.
Much. Yeah, New York is very much. We wanna love guys that came up with the team, mm-hmm. not guys that we necessarily went out and spent. Like,
right.
the love now, I understand Antrell Roll is so loved. Kavika Mitchell is so loved.
Pierce, so loved.
Sean O'Hara is so loved. Kareem, so I'm coming up with all of these exceptions, but I think New York just overall, not even just saying Giants.
No, and it's so true. And I always think about it, like when the trade deadline for baseball with the Yankees, and they're talking about, oh, a few years ago, Andujar, Clint Frazier, and everybody's like, oh no, these guys are so young that they've showed us potential mm-hmm. in a major league lineup. We don't want to get rid of them, blah, 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 blah. There's a connection to the homegrown talent.
Yeah. Like, so, people love Dalvin. Like, Dalvin Tomlinson.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Like, Dalvin was never like the highlight on TV. You know,
no.
if anything, Leonard Williams did provide more highlights than Dalvin Tomlinson, but people loved Dalvin Tomlinson 20 times more than Leonard Williams. And it's because homegrown.
Correct. He was a draft pick without a doubt. And he was out. He was on good morning football this morning. And I was crying. So
sorry.
He's so beautiful. He really is. Did you know he turned down an offer to go to Harvard?
Really?
He did. He's a very smart guy. Dalvin Thompson's a great player.
He bet on himself. Went to Alabama. Alabama's not a bad school. At least
it's not like that bad. Yeah. I'm going to put him in my will. All right, go ahead. You got 3 and 4. Come on.
Sheesh.
I can't believe you haven't got this one yet. At least one of them.
Well, 2007 week 3 against Washington. We talked about it last week.
Yes. And I kind of, because we talked about it, I didn't want to put it in. It was a phenomenal win, but there are two more that are very much more important.
Against Buffalo, 2007.
Nope.
Wow.
Great win, but nope. The clincher. I know. I get it.
Man, I'm running out. I'm running out of brain space. Daniel Jones's first win. That's a stretch. I know you. No. Yeah. I know
it's
you.
It's not there. It's not there yet. It's not there yet. I love Daniel, and I hope he's good, even though he sucks. I hope he's good, but he's not there yet. You want a hint?
Yeah, like give me some hints.
Okay, well, the Super Bowl 46 year is one of them.
Super Bowl 46 year is
and
one
you,
of
you
them.
Get you guessed Arizona, which was not on there.
Mm-hmm.
You guessed the both Cowboys. You're missing one big one.
One big one. The Jets game.
There you go. Thank you. Come on. Really?
Now that game wasn't really
Why was it? Okay, maybe not good in a sense, but for what the season was, for what the season turned out to be, you're going to tell me that game wasn't good?
And the storylines leading up to, see, I'm not a big, like,
okay, see,
you know,
that's where I know what you're going to say, and I'm sorry to interrupt, because that's where we differentiate. Rex Ryan shutting our Super Bowl trophies out. This is our city. I didn't come. I'm not little brother to Tom Coughlin. Blah blah blah. We were also getting piss pounded in the first quarter, and then we're backed up at the 1 yard line, 99 yard touchdown, Victor Cruz. That right there. After the Dallas game, you go in, you play the Jets on Christmas Eve, when the Jets are home. I'm pretty sure the Jets were home, and then you do that. Bradshaw barreling over Brodney Poole. I don't think Brodney Poole ever played a fucking snap of football after that. That is a catalyst to a championship game. And that, my friend, is number three. I was also there in a...
See, there you go.
I was there, and my brother can attest to this. I actually should have brought him in. There was about, I think, 11 minutes left in the first quarter, and we had all security in my section because me and this Jets fan were going at it really bad, and my brother was so upset because my brother was like, was like 13 or whatever he was. I think he was younger than that. And here I am, and just
eviscerating people.
It was like, oh my God, Justin, it was bad. It was really, really bad, the things I was saying to people.
Now, see, that's a different story. If I were there and I really like got hyped up about like, fuck Rex Ryan, he's a piece of shit. You know, they don't know, you know, these fucking little brothers. If I really got like in that vibe versus it's Christmas Eve and I'm there, at, you know, my mother's godson's mother's house, and I was just like getting, you know, and I was getting excited about, you know, we're making a playoff push, et cetera, you know, because it was Christmas Eve, you know, it was a Christmas. Yes.
Yeah,
so, you know,
it was Christmas Eve.
Me.
Yeah. Yep.
Good for me.
But here's the thing. It wasn't even just because I was there. The game was of huge importance, Justin. We don't
yes.
get We don't get to week 17 to play for the division without beating the Jets, a team that was beating our ass in the first quarter. And they brought Plaxico out by himself for a team captain. Fuck that team. Fuck Rex Ryan, that fat piece of fucking shit. Fuck that JV, miserable, rotten, scummy organization. Never be good. Never win a title. Anyway, that's
29-14 is like your number three game. I know what you're saying.
Significance, importance. Like you said, we could talk about best games. These are the best wins, the wins we needed. Okay. You got one more, and I don't think you're gonna get it.
I'm missing number two, right?
Yeah, no, number four. I don't think you're gonna get it. I really don't.
Is it pre-2004?
Yes.
All right, then I'm not gonna get it.
You want me to give it to you?
Yes, please.
2002, Giants-Eagles winning in week 17. 10-7. Jeremy Shockey goes over Brian Dawkins from Kerry Collins to tie the game. And then Matt Bryant kicks the game-winning field goal later on, which he almost missed the extra point when Shockey caught it after the touchdown. David Akers missed a big kick, which he never did. The winds were swirling in the Meadowlands that game. That 2002 team was really good. They were really good. They had a midseason stretch where they kind of faltered a little bit, but that team had talent. Fossil was there. I love Jim Fossil. Kerry Collins, love Kerry Collins. That was a team that could have made a run. And it was evident by going up like 38-13 or 30 whatever to San Fran in the wild card game. We don't talk about that. Would probably have been the worst loss I've ever witnessed. But yeah, Giants Eagles winning in. There was a wild card game. The fans were raucous. I think Big Blue VCR, shout out to him, probably the best, besides Bleeding Blue, the best to find your Giants history clips. Yep. Go to Big Blue VCR. He's phenomenal. He had that, and he always talked about how crazy the crowd was, and Jeremy Shockey, the rookie of the year, going over an all-pro Brian Dawkins and catching that ball in the end zone from a perfectly thrown lob from Kerry Collins. So that is number four, and that rounds us out. We have the Giants-Cowboys 2011, number one. We have Giants-Redskins, the Wellington Mara, after Wellington Mara passed. 2005, number two. Giants-Jets 2011, number three. That propelled us to a championship. Rex Ryan gave us that motivation. Fuck him. Giants-Eagles 2002, winning in. Kerry Collins had a lot of beers after that game. And number five, Giants-Broncos 2005, when Eli really grew those hairs on those whiskers. What is it? Whiskers on his chin. And throwing that game-winning touchdown to Amani Toomer in what we know now was Wellington Mara's last game he ever saw. So that rounds out my top five.
Well done.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I know there's some discrepancies, and I know there's going to be in the chat, and that's what I welcome. And there's a few of yours on there, Justin. Better games? Yes. There are much better games than the Jet game, without a doubt. But I think the significance and everything involved with that Jets game, with the rivalry, with what we needed to do to propel us to a Super Bowl, I could not leave it off the list. And me being there, and I had to move sections three times, by the way, which respect to the MetLife Stadium security, by the way, because I had to move three times. They didn't kick me out. I moved three times.
This has been a theme for you where you get in trouble
all the
and
time.
They don't kick you out. They just move you. If anything, they upgrade.
I think they know. Hold on. Aunt, come here. Hold on. He's going to tell you right now. How bad was I at the Giants-Jets game in Christmas Eve?
Oh, he was so bad. I stopped going to Giants games with him for like 4 years after it.
It was my last straw.
And then the first game I went to him after that was the Giants-Redskins week 17, a meaningless game in a monsoon. And he got kicked out within 3 minutes of the first quarter. Didn't tell me and my friends. So we sat there for a full half getting rained on for absolutely no reason when we could have just went to the car and left after like the first 10 minutes, which we wanted to do. And then he got to the car and started screaming at us for leaving the seat.
Well done, Anthony.
I told you that's brother Snacks right there. He's my cohort.
Wasn't Jason Garrett.
That's not Jason Garrett. No, that's Andy Dalton. That's Andy Dalton.
Oh, it's Andy Dalton.
It's Andy Dalton.
QB1.
QB1. QB1. No, but that's a funny story. No, I feel bad for him. He's put up with enough of my shit over the years. All right, so let's go to the five worst. Now let's just end the episode on a miserable mood.
This is going to be tough for me because my brain was not working correctly. There's one that's automatic that I think we should say for last. I'm gonna rip off some 2015 games because 2015 was miserable.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Week one, 2015 against Dallas in Dallas.
Oh God, was that the
Ioane Ayunga?
Oh my God, it's not on the list, but yeah.
Jeez.
Listen, Justin, these are bad. These are really bad.
2015 week two against Atlanta was probably even more
worse. Even worse. Yeah, not on the list.
What's his name? Not Cody Parkey. Preston Parker.
Your favorite player. Yeah.
I'm trying to pick a 2015 game when 2015 is probably not even on your list.
Nope, it's not.
It's not. Well, 2015.
There's like four honorable mentions from 2015 on the list though.
38-35 against the Panthers would have, if we completed that. That was a good game.
But we were like out of the playoffs. It wasn't as demoralizing.
We almost completed, like, we were winning or we tied it, and we were about to go. It was like going to be one of the greatest comebacks in NFL history,
right? Dave and Panthers. And see, that's like a pantry that you should do because that's one of the best games that we've watched. Like, it was such a great game.
That was the Odell going. Now, this is funny,
the Josh Norman Odell game. Yeah,
everybody remembers that. I don't remember that game for that reason because I was not watching on TV, so I wasn't seeing the replays of Odell Beckham Jr. just lunging for this guy's head.
Literally launching at him. Yeah.
I was watching a really good and intense football game. That's what I remember it as, so I have an interesting perspective.
That was
that.
A sick game, yeah.
There has to be, like, I remember just being demoralized leaving the stadium between the years, like, 2012 to 2015, leaving the stadium for Dallas games was fucking miserable because Tony Romo would just rip our hearts out of our chest. Is there any game, home game, that has Dallas in there for top five worst games?
No. But I know what you're saying. But Justin, when you hear the list, you're going to realize why there's not.
All right, give me a hint.
All right. The most recent was 2017.
Oh, what? The San Diego, where they all got hurt?
No.
All right, I don't know. I don't know them.
All right, well, I may have to just rip these off.
you may.
All right, so 2017 Giants-Eagles. We were 0-2, and we had that game in the bag. And we know what 2017 brought us. It was we were coming off a Fugazi playoff year, and we started 0-2 miserably. But the Eagles, you look to your division opponent to gain momentum, and we play the Eagles in Philly, and we had it in the bag, and then Eric Flowers commits two penalties, and we can't run out the clock, and then Jake Elliott kicks a 61-yard field goal, and then just from there, everything went off the rails. The whole season went off the rails. So that's number five.
You know what's
Giants,
crazy?
Eagles 2017.
Did Jake Elliott have like 2 years in a row where he kicked like insane field goals against us? Because 2018,
funny, right? I think he kicked a 60 when the Barkley game, when Pat Shurmur refused to give Barkley the ball in the second half.
What the fuck?
I know. Tell me. Hold on, Justin. How do you not get 1-2 right off the bat?
Well, I'm saving.
Oh, you're saving one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know which one. You may be mistaken on which one is number one.
All right. Well, there's another bad one from 2018 where it was that Panthers game. We actually threw the ball downfield, and Odell goes on like the Jocena Anderson interview and calls it out the team.
They do the reverse pass to Barkley down there. Yeah, that was really cool. But no,
it is funny. I'm going to say this, and Bobby would eviscerate me if I said this on Talking Giants. It is funny how Odell says, and it was wrong what he did, like 100%. He shouldn't have done it. But it is funny.
What he said was right, but he shouldn't have done it the way he did.
Correct. Like, it is funny how he says we need to throw the ball downfield more. And then the game with which they throw the ball downfield more, it was the first time they scored 30 points since like the Tom Coughlin era.
Go figure.
So, yeah, snacks. This is bad, man. What is wrong with my brain where I have I just blocked out?
All right. So, everything? All right. I think you have. And it's good that you've done that, because I didn't. Making this list, I was crying.
You think about it every day.
All the time. I only think about losses. I don't care about wins. No. Losses haunt me forever. All right. So why don't you get the one out of your way? So maybe it'll rejuvenate you a little bit. So get the one you were thinking out of the way.
Well, 2010 Miracle in the Meadowlands.
Yeah. 2010 Miracle in the Meadowlands.
What number is it?
Number 2.
Whoa.
Yeah. And you know, true story, that was I've said it on here before. I was a Make-A-Wish kid. I had cancer and I wanted to be a Giants season ticket holder, and that was the year. And I was 10 rows up from the end zone that DeSean Jackson ran into, and it was one of the worst experiences. That experience alone was worse than the 7 months of chemotherapy I went through. So that's how bad that loss was. And it's number 2. And we were up 17 with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's just an absolute miserable loss. And I never want to talk about it again because I'm so fucking annoyed. But like we said, that propelled us the next year to win a Super Bowl. However, that is number 2 on the worst regular season losses of the last 2 decades.
My house is burned down and my parents have gotten divorced, and it was a very ugly divorce. I consider that day to be the worst day of my life.
Uh-huh. Yep. I mean, listen, it's so funny that we could do this. Like, my mom passed young. I have had miserable deaths in my family. I can't. You had your parents divorced, your house burned down. Look at all the things that we have had in our lives that are so goddamn bad. And look at this. Losses. Giants losses are the worst days of our lives.
I never questioned life more walking out of that stadium.
Oh, are you kidding me? I sat there. There might have been like 100 people in the stands. I sat there the whole time. I could not believe it. It was the second worst day of my life.
I know what the first one is. I
figured it out.
I had a flashback.
You figured it out. Okay.
I watched this game in my sister's room because I was 7 years old, and I watched it on a very small TV which you would play VCRs in.
Oh, nice. Old school.
Giants were in Seattle, 2005. Jay Feely misses 17,000 field goals.
Wow. Okay. So that's number 3.
Okay.
That's a great call. I did not think you were going to get that one. That's a great call. The Giants lose 24-21. Jay Feely misses 3 field goals that would have put them ahead. They would have won the game easily. They were not like 50-yard bombs either. He just missed, and it was really bad. And another thing, when doing some research, they finished 11-5 and won the division that year. You remember?
And Sean Alexander went bananas.
Right. Well, okay, but they finished that year 11-5, correct? And they won the division. And mm-hmm. they played the Panthers in the wild card game. Had they won that game, they would have been 12-4, and they would have had a first round bye, and maybe those guys would have had a chance to heal, like the Antonio Pierces, because we were playing with, you know, that whole season could have been a lot different if Jay Feely just hits one field goal, and he missed 3. So that scumbag, I hope him and Tiki Barber go out to dinner one day. Honestly. Anyway.
I can imagine they caught a game of golf.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck them both. Seriously. Miserable, rotten fucks, Jay Feely. Fake Italian. Anyway, that's number 3. Giants Seahawks from 2005. A lot of 2005s in here, by the way.
Really? A lot of 2005s.
A lot of 2005s. It was a wild year. Wild year.
This is where you're going to lose me, because I remember some of the wins. I don't remember some of the losses, because I'm in 11-5 season. So tell me about it.
I can't believe you're missing the number one.
Is your number one from 2005?
No. 2005's done.
What year was number one?
2009.
Hmm.
Justin.
Dallas?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes, I'm going to tell you. Tell me.
The last game ever at Giants Stadium. That is the worst loss I have ever seen in my life.
I was there.
So was I. I was trying to rip the fucking, I was trying to rip the seat out. I was watching people do it. Everybody, we're all up top. Everybody's trying to rip it out. And here I am, you know, I'm yanking at it. I'm stomping on it. I couldn't get it out. The last game ever in Giant Stadium, our stadium, that was our stadium. All the moments that we have built and lived in the old Giants Stadium, that was the last game against a shitty Panthers team Maybe they weren't. I don't even remember.
Isn't it funny how the last, or now this is a, you're talking about a regular season game, right?
Yeah, that was a regular season game.
First game at MetLife Stadium was also against Panthers. We did win that game.
And we did win that game, yeah. And then what was the last game at MetLife Stadium that year? Was the DeSean Jackson. So it's really funny how that works. But the Giants-Panthers, I can't believe you didn't say this, Justin. That is the worst loss. Just the sentimental, everything. They didn't lose on a field goal in overtime.
Yeah, so they who cares?
What do you mean, who cares? What do you mean, who cares? Are you kidding me? Does Giants Stadium not mean that much to you as it means to me?
It meant more to me seeing them in a season where they won a Super Bowl and a season where they went 12-4.
You're an idiot. You lost me. You cannot sit there and tell me that loss isn't absolutely soul crushing, because that crushed me for months. I wasn't okay for months.
What was the score of that game?
Why don't you look it up? They lost by like 30 fucking points. They were never in the goddamn game.
I probably left fucking early.
I didn't. I stayed the whole way.
Yeah, you tried to rip out the fucking seat.
They played Bruce Springsteen's Wrecking Ball before the game. I was crying, everything. And they came out there, and they didn't even show up. The last game at Giants Stadium, our MetLife Stadium. You kidding me? You like MetLife Stadium? Giants Stadium, that was our baby. That was our baby. My second home. Everything about that place. And they came out there. They didn't even show the fuck up. They lost by fucking 60 to a Carolina Panthers team that has no respect for me ever. I can't believe you're fucking downplaying this. I am so pissed. Find number four.
I have never seen you this upset.
I'm devastated. Never. I hated that loss. Everything about that loss. I'll never forget it. Who I was with, what I did, everything. I was flipping burgers on a little charcoal grill with a CD. I didn't have a spatula.
Rip off the last two. Let's get out of here.
There's only one more.
I'm concerned for your health right now. What's the last one?
Giants Titans 2006.
Oh.
Up 21-0 in the fourth, and Mathias.
Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, we talked about that.
This is the maddest that you've ever gotten at me.
I'm actually pretty pissed off.
It's Pizza Friday. You gonna have some pizza?
A lot of it.
All right. Well, that's the show. That's the show. Snacks. What are we doing next week?
I don't fucking care.
Getting into draft month.
We are. No. I'm a professional, so I'll be professional now. We're getting into draft month. Some good draft stuff coming up. And yeah, that was fun. That was fun. I'm stunned you didn't even think about putting that last game. Regardless, okay, it's over. It's over with. I'm sorry. A lot of good honorable mentions, and we would love to hear who you guys, your best losses, your worst. Or I'm sorry, your best losses, your worst losses, your best wins in regular season the last two decades. And for the people that are in the 80s and 90s crew, shoot us ones that you know that we have to look into. But that was fun, Justin. Always fun. And I tell you what, pretty difficult. You kind of struggled. You struggled a little bit.
I struggled big time.
You struggled a little bit. But that's the best part of it. That's why this is so much fun.
We're revealing how my brain works, where I guess I just block shit out, which good for me.
Good for you. And I appreciate I don't block anything out. That's why the last one really got to me. Because that's the most personal game to me. I felt offended. Like offended. The Sean Jackson was demoralizing, but the last game in Giants Stadium killed me because I was at Bruce Springsteen two nights before that. So
yeah, I'm gonna keep my opinions about Bruce Springsteen to myself.
Yes, as we should. But as always, I want Danny Behan, director, vice president, player personnel. He helped me narrow some lists down. A great list as always, and as always. Keep on bleeding blue. Thank you, guys.
Keep on bleeding blue. We will see you next week. Draft month. We're going to kick off draft month a week late for bleeding blue.
That's all right.
But we're going to do it. Keep on bleeding blue. We'll see you next week. Thank you for watching.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.